Those instructions in that 12th chapter of Romans are pretty big prescription, aren't they? Pretty big challenge. A call to love. But hold on to that one. Pick up on this prayer and this promise. Prayer of Jesus. Father, sanctify my disciples by the truth. Your word is truth. And then this provision. Jesus suffered outside the gate to sanctify the people through his own blood. So I got a question. Again, thinking of that big challenge that we read in that 12th chapter of Romans and this provision of Jesus, here's the question for you. If you were to add the title saint to your name, Saint David, Saint Benjamin, Saint Albert, if you were to add that title to your name, what do you think you would need to change in your life to live up to that title? Sort of let that one penetrate a little. What would you have to change to live up to that title? Maybe we can ask the question a little different way. What is Jesus coaching you to change? We hear the challenge of Scripture. We hear the provision of God through Jesus. What would we have to do? What would we have to change to live up to this title, saint? Saint Vanjie. Saint Pam. Well, what does it mean to be a saint? How does a person become a saint? Do you have to have been living up to those directions of Romans chapter 12 to be called a saint? Or is there something else going on? What are the qualifications for being a saint? Well, let me try a definition. I've talked about this before, but I keep coming back to it. Saints believe in Jesus as he is proclaimed in Scripture and follow him as their Lord. They belong to God. Now we're going to mine that one a little bit more in a little bit. Saints are women, men, girls, boys, teens, human beings like you and me. Saints believe in Jesus Christ as he is proclaimed in Scripture. Son of God, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, our living Lord. Believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. Here's the tricky part. Follow him as their Lord. The word for Lord is master, boss. They belong to God. Well, we're going to come back to that in a little bit. So here I come back to a definition I introduced to you last week. Sanctification, which is the subject I'm working with for a few weeks. That big, scary, five-letter word from Bible. Sanctification is the work of God in believers making us holy. That is, sanctifying us and shaping us in the likeness of Jesus. Hint, making us saints. It's the work of God in us. Now, I need to make a clarification of some terms. Sanctification and holiness are used interchangeably in Scripture. Both are translated from the same words. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word kadosh. The New Testament Greek, hagiasmos. The noun form is translated holiness or sanctification, and thus you get some interchange of those two terms. The verb form is translated to sanctify, to make holy, to set apart, to consecrate, to purify, to dedicate. The adjective is holy or saint. They're all related words. God is working in our lives to sanctify us. As we look at this in Scripture, holiness is a mandate in Scripture. Says the Scripture, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Old and New Testament. A verse in New Testament says, pursue peace with all people, with one another, and holiness. Without it, you cannot see God. That's a pretty strong mandate, isn't it? It is a mandate. It's not a suggestion. It's a call of God. But it's also a provision. Jesus prayed for God to sanctify us through his blood. Last week I raised the question, what if God wants to make us holy? Did you play with that any this week? Jesus suffered crucifixion to sanctify, that is, to make us holy through his blood. God simply says, I am the Lord, I sanctify you. So we get this big, scary, five-syllable word, and God says, that's what I want to do in you. God wants to transform us. God is in the process of making us saints. God wants to sanctify you and cultivate his joy in you so that you can experience and radiate authentic, victorious, enthusiastic, contagious Christianity in every arena of your life. That's what God wants to do. God's design, his desire. Holiness is a fundamental inherent characteristic of God. According to Scripture, only God is truly holy. I'm finding it interesting, the arrival of the Pope in the United States this week. The thousands that will gather in D.C. and then in Philly. This man is referred to as Your Holiness. I respect what's being done, and I am rejoicing at the religious fervor that comes with this. He's not Your Holiness. Only God is. He is a saint like you and me in his faith in God. Only God is truly holy. There's a prayer of the Lady Hannah recorded, and in it she says, there is no one holy like the Lord. Holiness is his very essence. Who he is. It radiates from its pores. The angels in the Revelation sing this song about God. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Only God is truly holy. Then we have this prayer, a song again of the angels. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. We catch this from a story, out of a testimony out of the life of the prophet Isaiah. He's a prophet at a very crucial time in the history of his nation Israel. King had died after a long prosperous period of history, and there were tyrannical, empirical nations that were surfacing all around them, threatening their peace, their existence. And when the king died, we read that Isaiah went to the temple, and we find his story in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the real King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "So now, who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." It's a story of a man who encountered the holy God. The whole earth is full of his glory. This vision contains four components of the holiness of God: his exalted majesty, radiant glory, sinless purity, amazing grace. I saw the Lord seated on his throne, separate, set apart, transcendent, in heaven. Isaiah, in another section of his writing, said, "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place." God, separate. Transcendent. We hear these words about God from the book of Deuteronomy. "Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other." This prompts Jesus to teach us to pray, "Father, boss, ultimate authority, our Father, Father of us all in heaven, let your rule come and your will be done." Jesus taught us to pray generically on earth, but to take it as his disciples in me. It's submission to none other than the Lord God, the one who is holy, exalted. "He is radiant in glory," said Isaiah. "I saw the Lord, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The splendor of creation reveals the glory of God. 19th Psalm, the letter to the Romans. In fact, in that letter to the Romans, it says, Everything that any human being needs to know about God is expressed in creation. That's pretty big. Therefore, we are all responsible. Glory of God. Coming to the close of his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote to his student, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Yes, high exalted, radiant glory. There are numerous scenes of that glory of God. God speaking out of a burning bush to a guy by the name of Moses with a big task. Go confront the Pharaoh of Israel and tell him to let my people go. The announcement of angels to shepherds on a hillside at the birth of Jesus, revealing the glory of God. Yes, God reveals his glory through creation and through unique events. There's also the sinless purity of God. When Isaiah saw this vision of God, all he could say is, woe is me. I am a sinful man. I live among a sinful people. And my eyes have seen the King. Purity of God. Another prophet writes, no evil can exist. Lord, you can't even look at on evil. Though he does, he sees it quite clearly. He sees the evil. But as we come into the presence of God, there's something about God that reveals our brokenness, our finiteness, our sinfulness. The sinless purity of God. But that very sinlessness provides salvation. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, not rise up to, we might become the righteousness of God. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way that we are, but he never sinned. He sets a new model, sinless purity. But the final component is amazing grace. God chose to reveal himself to us. We talk about the transcendent God, but it also, big theology term, we talk about the immanent grace of God. God comes to us exactly where we are at. In that time of crisis, God, the Almighty, came to Isaiah, fearful, struggling, not knowing where to go. And so he could say, in the year the king Uzziah died, at a time of crisis, I saw the Lord high and lifted. God comes to us where we are at. That phrase that talked about God high and lifted, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, God says. But I also dwell with those who are contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and the heart of the contrite. God comes to us where we are at. That's what is going on in Jesus. God comes to us where we are at. And God reveals his very grace. I won't take time to read this, but that great old hymn, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't stay put in the high and holy heaven. What did Jesus do? He comes to us. And in each one of our lives, he comes to us in our crisis times, in our lonely times, in our broken times, in our frustration times. God comes to us where we are at. God made Jesus to be sin for us, the sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make us holy with his own blood. Can we really be saints? Can this holiness of God be birthed in and lived by Christians today? Some people say no. Some people, I'm not sure. Some people say, well, maybe someday. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. God is in the process of transforming us. Oh, yes. Not a part of this world. Followers of Jesus who do not belong to this world. Jesus prayed, I have given them your word, Father, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil. These followers of mine do not belong to the world. They belong to you, God. Separate. Transformed. Holy people who are light of the world. Radiating God's great grace. Christianity is more than something that I experience in my heart. It's something we live. If we really experience it within us, it will radiate through us. In family, in neighborhood, on job, in the world. God saying to Isaiah, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah can only say, oh, as limited as I am, here am I. Send me. Jesus said, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As you, Father, are in me and I am in them, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Holy. Holy people, pure in heart. Oh, there's one we started back from. Me, pure in heart. Well, God, pure. The holiness of God within us. The psalmist wrote, who may ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a... That was weak. But if I was sitting where you're at, that's how I would do it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be, I will cleanse you. This is what the Holy God promises, I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. We have this phrase in the letter to the Ephesians, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Doing what? Cleansing? Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. God working in us. Holy people, amazing grace. Oh, there's the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is like to the first, says Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. Primary characteristic of God's people, love. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Well, even pagans do that. But you are to be what? How perfect? As your Father in heaven, you got to be kidding me. So once again, I come back to this definition. Sanctification, the work of God in believers, making us holy, shaping us in the likeness of Jesus. We don't become perfect and then say, do I qualify for sainthood yet? Uh-uh. God makes us saints and then starts shaping us in the likeness of Jesus. How do we become a saint? I'm going to be talking about that in a few weeks. But it's simply this. Place your faith in Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. And begin to follow Him as your Lord, Master, Coach, and Teacher. Your true life teacher. The work of God transforming you. God wants to sanctify you, cultivate you, so that you can experience and radiate authentic, victorious, enthusiastic, contagious Christianity in every arena of your life. Father, can you hear the prayer for us? Sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus suffered outside the city gate to do what? To sanctify us. To make us holy. Lord willing, next week I'm going to look at the next topic. Why is this so important to God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can read it. Alan's chosen an old song, In Light of Time, maybe a couple of verses of that song. But it just has a lot of truth in it. I invite you to stand as Alan leads us.